Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Come on in, take a seat, pour a drink, pass one to me. Freckle foodie and friends, talking about life's odds and ends. Throw away your hesitations, have unfiltered conversations. If you've got an ear to lend, here's Freckle Foodie and Friends.
Okay, you guys ready?
I was born ready.
All right, let's go. We're coming off of like such a wonderful brunch of just feeling like we still live in New York and don't have responsibilities.
This is the past to me.
The past?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have kids in the city either, right?
Nope.
So do you feel that way when you come in?
100%, and I needed it.
Yeah, we needed it.
I needed to feel like Mandy. I haven't felt like her in a while.
I neither. No, and I want to get into that. I want to give some context because, A, this is going to be part of, like, the friendship series that I've been doing with my friends in my real life and being like, how did we meet? How do we connect? Just because I think it's hard to make friends as adults, and I didn't really have to because I'm from New Jersey. Like, I went to school. I don't know. Like, all of my school
friends. No, I didn't
friends,
have to either.
Yeah. Everyone kind of moved to New York. So yeah. I was like, oh, I'm set here. So for context, our husbands forced all of our friendships.
That's emphasis putting it on lightly. The force.
Like, forced. I feel I was actually the most willing, which is shocking. But basically, our husbands knew each other from golf. And we all live, like, next to each other in our towns. You guys knew each other before I came into the mix.
Also forced
also
friendship.
Forced.
Right.
She okay, rolled up so to my kid's to, yeah. birthday party. And I was like, who is this? Why are you here?
And but for context, I also went kicking and screaming.
And why do you think that, like, what is it about us that we had to be forced to be friends? Like, why do you think?
I mean, if I psychoanalyze, I think it's because I moved so much as a kid. And then I hit New Jersey and I'd kind of been in this area ever since I went to Rutgers. I moved to the city mm-hmm. after and I just like felt really content. And I also, I had no more of myself to give. Like in my daughter's first year of life, it was like I was at capacity and I just thinking about small talk or like talking to people I didn't know, I just could not. And I don't know. I think it's evolved, but at first I could not.
I mean, I feel that way now. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that way still? Because now we're in postpartum again.
I mean, I feel like I've met you two and now I'm like at capacity.
We're good here.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
No, I agree.
For me, it's quality over quantity.
Yes.
And so I feel like at that point in my life, to that same point, I was overstimulated And I felt like I had a good enough group of friends. My cup was full, I guess. Mm-hmm. I didn't need any more. And to the point of sometimes you meet people that aren't your people. And it's really hard to break through, to let your guard down, to like, I don't know, feel like you're making a connection. And you have to force that connection. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to walk into this first birthday party and have to like force myself to like have a conversation with someone that didn't feel genuine. But that's obviously not what happened.
We've been attached at the hip ever since.
Best friends.
But then we met Mandy at that brunch.
Yes.
Which is technically, I guess, where I met you too, Lindsay. But then our husbands like forced a play date upon us.
Yeah.
While we were both pregnant. I think that was the other thing that like eventually got me to be like, okay, I'll meet these people, is because we all had kids similar timing the first go around. Mm-hmm. And then I remember Joe coming home from golf one day being like, oh my God, their wives are pregnant too. Like, you're all due within 2 weeks. I was like, okay. And then I did remember how nice it was to have someone just in the exact same timeline. Cause like my best friend had given birth, I guess, 9 months before I just gave birth. So like, yes, it's nice someone's gone through it, but it's nice to have someone in the trenches in the same moment, whether it's pregnancy or postpartum.
Who are your people?
Right.
Because you need to be like vulnerable and honest. Yes. And there are some people who think the way that you do or that accept what you're feeling and thinking. And there are some people that don't.
I was just going to say, like, I think I was so put off, like not, I was put off by the idea of making friends, because it is when you're most vulnerable, like you're learning how to be a mom, you're in a new town. I lived in the city forever. And then you're trying to navigate like friendships. And then do they mother the way I mother? Are they going to judge me for how I talk to my toddler? Like, I don't know. And then once you realize you're comfortable, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yes. Because I also think you can have different like parenting styles, or you can have different beliefs or whatever, but is it a safe space to like everyone just feels the ability to do how they feel they should parent their kids without judgment?
Yeah, totally.
Or like how they show up as a mom, et cetera.
Well, actually, you have champions. So I talk about this a lot. There's champions and cheerleaders. Cheerleaders are on the side.
Mandy, take it away. Well,
because we call her Mama Mandy for a reason.
No, literally, she's our mom.
Well, I'm also older. There's that. But
no, but like, you just have your life together.
But I talk about this a lot at work because I mentor a lot. Mm-hmm. And cheerleaders are great, but they're usually passive. They're on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Champions are people that are literally behind you, lifting you up. They're pulling you up. They are your people. They're there to make you, no matter what your decision is, they champion that decision.
Yeah.
They're active. They're active participant in making you feel good about whatever you decide. And that's what we became for each other. We were each other's champions.
Absolutely.
We were each other's cheerleaders. Like, good for you. And it wasn't fake. So
it's not fake. And I also think, I mean, like, our text thread could be like a book on how to, in my opinion, like how to survive postpartum.
If those get leaked someday.
Terrifying.
So funny.
And how to show up for each other. But it'll just be either a middle of the night, like, I'm going to fucking lose it. Mm-hmm. Or like, I'm going to kill my husband. It's like, I'll help you bury the body. Or like Lindsay's knife emojis. Or it's like, you know, this win happened in parenting and it's like, we're so happy for you. And I do also think that there's not 1 ounce of comparison.
Mm-mm. No.
Between any of it, which is so helpful.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about with friends in general. I think that's important because like, you're not comparing careers, you're not comparing finances, you're not comparing lifestyles if you're just happy for everyone. But especially with parents, because kids are so different.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean,
my favorite saying of all time is comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes.
And like, I think my very best friends, there is zero comparison. And especially with our kids, we're all at different stages. They're all very different too.
Very different.
And they all get along very well, but there's never comparison.
And I think even I was thinking about this, where like, if this was my first go around, would I feel differently? Because like, I remember the first time obsessing over things.
Oh, yeah.
So deeply. And this time around, it's just kind of like, we're just doing what's working. And I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to survive.
Hour by hour. Yep.
Yeah. But like, for instance, if you think about just sleep, if this were our babies or my first time around, I feel I would be obsessing. Like, why is their baby sleeping through the night? Why is their baby doing this? Where this time around, it's just, okay. There's no comparison. It's just, it is what it is in that way, kind of. And I think that that's so helpful for the friendship as well.
Totally. I think we're confident in our mothering abilities.
Yes.
Like by now.
Which I mean, don't think I was.
To a degree.
To a degree. Which I don't think I was nearly as much the first time around.
No.
Yeah, no. I was listening to everything anyone said and Same. Trying it. And oh then it God. Just like backfired and I was depressed.
Yes. I have talked a lot about how I'm like trying to figure out my style right now and what I like, what I don't like, etc. And I was recently with this woman who I thought looked so goddamn stylish. And I was like, that is exactly what I want to wear. She had on this like silk maxi skirt, a white t-shirt, a gray like nice sweater over her shoulders, and then a pair of Adidas Sambas. And I was like, you look so cute, so put together and comfortable and just very much my vibe. So of course, I went to the internet to find a silk maxi skirt and I love the one I found from Quince. It's 100% washable silk maxi skirt for under $80. Quince is my go-to for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. Quince creates timeless classics that never go out of style, items that you'll have in your closet forever, which always makes putting together an outfit way easier. You know, I struggle. Trust me, this helps. Plus, if you are someone who is looking to build a capsule wardrobe, they have all of your must-haves. The best part is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Cameron for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Cameron to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Cameron. The other day, I placed a Thrive Market order, which I do very regularly, and I saw that I had been a member since 2016, and I was like, my God, that is long, and I have saved so much money over those, what is that, 8 years? Can I do math? 8 years. Yes. Okay. That is so long. And I've saved so much money because Thrive Market is the best place that I'm getting all of my household essentials and pantry staples. Like they have so many products that I love. Okay. Simple Mills, Chomps, CSA, Three Wishes, Go Macro, etc. Scout Organic Bars. We have even like dipped into the Thrive Market brand organic fruit circles for the kids' snacks. They have everything I love. I recently just did an order for household items. So I did some of their hand soap, their laundry detergent, their dishwasher, little like tablets. I got an actual like glass container for the hand soap. I did the like stain spray because we are just staining everything. I love Thrive Market with my entire heart. Okay. Plus the best part, without fail, they get delivered right to my door. I have the app, so I'm constantly just adding things as the week goes on. Like, okay, oh, I realize we're out of that. We're running low on this, whatever. Add it all in. And then every like 3-ish weeks, I place a bulk order and it gets delivered right to my door. And I save so much money. The savings are unparalleled. On average, over 30% each time. And if you find a better price somewhere else, they have a price match guarantee. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/Cameron for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/Cameron. thrivemarket.com/Cameron. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit postpartum because we all gave birth within 3 weeks of each other the second time around and pretty closely. Lindsay and I 2 weeks apart the first time, and you were 6 months before us probably.
Yeah.
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 How have your postpartum experiences compared second to the first?
Do you want to go first?
Well, I would say, like I've said, I am a little older. So I had my first at 34 and my second at 37. And it was a very different experience. I do think that, like, while I hate the term geriatric and it should never be used ever when referring to a woman's body, it is different. My body didn't bounce back the way that...
Can we just talk about how you called our bodies used cars this time?
No, that was my...
Wait, my said that too.
My OB, which, by the way, you know what? While it hurt like a knife in the chest, that was the most real thing anyone has ever said to me.
It's so true.
My first time around, it was a new car. My second time, I'm a used one. And it's true.
Everything changed faster. Everything was just like, oh, we've done this. It's stretched more. It hurts more. It's just everything.
Yeah. And for longer. Like,
yes.
Everything was longer. And I was miserable. So apologies to anyone I met when I was pregnant. I was the worst version of myself.
Same.
Come meet me now. I'm great. But it was, I do, I feel like I am.
Depending on the day.
Yeah. Catch me on a good day. Yeah. I just felt my body, I still don't feel like my body is mine. And I've had a harder time. I feel like, I don't know. I think the overstimulation this time is a lot because you have two kids and you have a really full house. And then, so you just feel like, and I feel like I'm just, all I do is mom.
Yeah.
And I feel like the one thing I'm supposed to be able to control, which is my body, I can't even control. So while this time I feel more confident in a mom, there are things that I'm struggling with, I guess, like identity wise, because I'm not at work. And that's also a huge part of who I am. And so, and when I had our first, it was COVID. So it was also just a very different experience. It was just isolating. And I didn't get to talk about these things with my friends. And now I do. And I realize we're all going through the same thing. But yeah, I didn't bounce back the way that I did the first time. And I think that's hard to like wrap my head around.
Okay, well, A, you're never going to like, I hate the bounce back.
I do. I do hate the bounce back.
Because you're never really going to be the same. Obviously, like your body just did something crazy. But I get what you're saying where it feels, we're also still so fresh. So like, I think it's recency bias where in my head I'm like, is this what happened? Or was it? Like, true, am I creating this like, glorified version of the last time just to compare it to. But I do get what you're saying. And I do think the body changes more and more with each one. And I know we've talked about this a lot where it's like, I can come to terms with like, fine, maybe I'll never fit in those jeans again. But like, I don't want to go out and buy all these new jeans. Right. I don't want, like, I don't want to have to continue to reinvent myself.
Yep.
I think that's what's also hard where it's just exhausting. It's like, can't I just have a piece of who I used to be back?
Right. Well, and it's like, again, it's your body. You should be able to control your body. And so wrapping your head around, for 9 months, I didn't control what was going on.
Yeah.
All these changes. And then you think, okay, just get to the birth, have the baby, allow yourself grace, and then you'll feel like you again. And the truth of the matter is like, I still don't feel like me.
But I didn't feel like a version I recognized of myself until 9 months postpartum. I vividly remember at 9 months. And that was more mental than physical, like mentally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it took me 9 months to be like, okay, I can like recognize this version of myself. It's interesting what you say because I feel I struggled the most with the identity the first time. Because the first time.
Same.
Did you feel this way? The first time I was like, wait, what? I'm a mom. I'm like, I'm supposed to know what I'm doing. These like, now my life revolves around someone else and the schedules and the, am I ever going to like feel free again and all those things where this time I don't feel any of that. Cause I'm like, I've been so wrapped in this mom brain world for now 2.5 years. What I'm struggling more with is like, this is a lot fucking harder than I thought it was going to be. My newborn experience was wildly different. Like,
yeah.
Wildly, which I know you had the flip version of.
The positive version.
Well, I don't know. I don't
not
know.
Negative or positive.
No, but I don't know
what
what's easier.
Yeah.
Like, because this time then it's almost nicer. For, like,
yeah.
But I also think it's almost they give you what you can handle because I could not have handled this newborn experience my first time mixed with my postpartum anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would have, like.
You would have had one child.
I don't know how I would have survived, quite honestly. And so this go around, while the newborn experience has been difficult and taxing in very different ways, I'm thankfully not the like anxious and depressed version of myself that I was the first time. So I can just meet my child where he is and not obsess over things and just try to figure it all out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
What about you?
I feel like, in short, mentally, last time was so much harder than this time, partly because I think I've accepted who I am. Like, I'm a mom. I fought it really hard the first time. Like, I finally loved my life. Like, I had hit my point in my early 30s. I was married. I had a great job. I could, like, make enough money to really actually like living in New York. I had a great group of friends. And then I got pregnant and, like, the ripcord was pulled. And I did have to mourn that person, which I know people talk a lot about, but physically I bounced back very quickly. Like, and I hate the term bounce back too, but like I was in my jeans a couple months later. This time mentally, I'm fine because I'm a mom already and I've accepted that and I've gone through that process. But then physically, it's been much more taxing on me. Like, I just don't recognize myself. And I don't remember maybe I was too wrapped up mentally last time to even care about the physical.
I think that's what it was.
But like, I looked in the mirror and I was like, who is that? I don't know who that is.
But I think it's what you were saying. It's like the physical represents so much more because it's not like, oh, I want to look a certain way. It's like,
no.
My whole life has changed. Who am I? And I also, we have to acknowledge that like, we're all in heterosexual relationships. That just doesn't happen to the male because they simply don't carry a child.
No.
So
I also don't want to buy new clothes.
No, I simply don't want to buy new wardrobe.
I don't want to buy new clothes. I don't want to spend the money. Like, I just don't want to do it. I want to fit in my pants. And I don't.
I feel you. I feel you hard. Okay. I want to chat Lindsay specifically because I think a large part of the difference in your postpartum experiences mentally you've mentioned is your decision to like start formula feeding day one.
Yeah.
What was that decision? Like, what went into making that decision? How did you go about it? And then also, Mandy, after that, like, we both had a conversation when you were over once before. I guess it was, like, literally when you were in the hospital delivering because you it was just you in my house. We were both saying how we breastfed our first for, like, five. I don't know how long you did.
Well, I breastfed for 2 months, and then I pumped exclusively for six.
Right. So, like—
And we can get into the guilt about with the second.
But yeah. And so I remember us both being like, yeah, I'll try to do something similar. And then we both pulled the ripcord way earlier.
Real quick.
So Linz, like, what was that experience like for you and how do you think it helped you?
I mean, I've had no postpartum depression this time. And I am convinced it's linked to breastfeeding. I don't know if that's true. I don't know the science behind it. I'm just convinced, like, for me personally, making that decision was it felt like a big decision, but I also didn't like myself early mom stage with my toddler. Like, I didn't recognize myself. I was very depressed. I was very anxious. I was very OCD. And I just didn't feel like I was showing up for my kid. Like, I didn't enjoy it. Whereas this time, yeah, I've embraced the fact that I'm a mom, but I also was like, I'm going to do everything I can to try to enjoy the experience. And like, my first is not a sleeper. My second is a sleeper. So that's probably tied to it too. But I don't know. I decided like day one, that's something that gave me really bad angst. Like thinking about how and where and when to pump, thinking about the schedule. Like last time my baby didn't latch. She was miserable. She had a dairy intolerance, which we figured out after trying five formulas. I wasn't producing. I ate every breast milk inducing cookie you can imagine. That shit doesn't work. And I was in a really dark headspace from it. And so this time I was like, I'm just not going to do it. Like, I'll put her on what I felt like is the best formula, which is Bobby. I don't know if it's the best, but they say it is, so that's what she's on. It helped with the guilt. And we've been very happy. Like, the experience has been genuinely night and day. And again, they're very different babies. Like, this one's not very fussy. She sleeps. Mm-hmm. But I feel like taking that pressure off myself was the best thing I could have done.
And we were like, absolutely. Mandy and I.
Yeah, there was never any judgment. And you guys started breastfeeding. And I feel like I, for a minute in the hospital, was like, should I? And the nurses and stuff, they're not super supportive of.
Well, I was going to ask how they reacted.
The nurses were very against it.
Because
just
I think
try.
St. Barnabas is like I forget what the term is. Like, I was talking to my sister about this. Like, child first or something.
Oh, interesting.
And so I do think they push technically breastfeeding.
They pushed it really hard. And I was I'm going to stick. Yeah, let me know. Yeah. It would make sense. Because they're like, we're just going to bring the lactation consultant in. And I had to like, there was a minute because you're really vulnerable. You've just given birth. You're tired. You're very hormonal. And they're like, we're just going to bring the lactation consultant in. And I'm like, no, you're not. I've decided this and you're not. And like, I was proud of myself because usually I'd be like, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. And our pediatrician came in and he was like, are you breastfeeding? And I was like, no. And I like said it kind of. And he's like, I think it's a crock of shit anyway. And I was like, okay, that's all I need to
see here. Best pediatrician in the world.
Kevin started laughing and we're like, okay, good. This is our decision. And we brought our formula to the hospital and like, that was that.
And how did you physically go about it for anyone who's wondering, like, how
I mean, that part's not fun. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was in pain for probably a week. I just followed doctor's orders. It was a ton of ice. Like, I had an ice pack on my boobs literally at all times. And then sports bras and cabbage leaves, weirdly. I know you tried Cabo Cream.
Yeah, Cabo Cream.
But we had passed that point before I heard about it. So it was cabbage leaves.
Yeah.
And it stopped. I feel like the pain stopped after like 5 days. And then the milk dried up. It was like 2 months, probably, like that it actually dried up fully.
Oh, like no leaks.
Yeah, yeah. But it was gone after that.
The other day, I posted a story of why I love the suburbs so much. And it was because it was a beautiful, sunny afternoon. And I had brought my workout mat outside in our driveway. And I was doing a little workout. My baby was finishing his nap in his car seat. My toddler was playing with his cars. And I was like, what a goddamn gift. What a gift this life is. And how amazing is it that I get to move my body? And let me tell you what I was doing. I was doing one of my favorite workouts on Allo Moves. Allo Moves is a streaming on-demand wellness platform that features yoga practices, fitness routines, meditation sessions, and so much more from one of my favorite brands, Allo Yoga. They truly have something for everyone, from beginner to advanced, yoga to bar, Pilates, cardio, HIIT, everything. They even have relaxing guided meditations and breath work. And honestly, before I even started working out, the sun was shining so nicely on my face. I turned to my toddler and I was like, I'm going to set my timer and you can play for this entire time, but I'm going to do a quick little meditation on this app. Closed my eyes, had the sun beaming on me. It was glorious. I immediately felt like I was going to fall asleep in the best way possible. The flexibility of Allo Moves is everything. Sometimes I only have like 10 minutes to squeeze in something, and that is why I love that they have such an extensive library with so many options. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code FRECKLED30 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com, code FRECKLED30. allomoves.com, code FRECKLED30. Something that I did not think I could possibly dread so much or like ever dread this much is the idea of cooking meals for my family. Like, I used to love cooking so much, and I hope, I pray one day I will get back to a place where I love it. But right now, I am just so fried and like burnt out and pulled in so many directions that when the end of the day comes and it's time for dinner, the last thing I want to do is cook. And that is why I have been loving Factor. Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. They have no prep and no mess. Like, you literally pull it out of your fridge, take off the top, heat it up, and freaking enjoy. They are 100% ready to heat and eat, so there is no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. It is honestly my dream for the end of the day. You'll have over 35 different options a week to choose from and over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Plus, they have done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing 6 to 18 meals per week. The meals are freaking delicious. Delicious. Joe and I split like all of them because we like to just heat up two and then go half so like we can taste everything. And they are so good. But honestly, the one I had that I loved the most, I didn't share with him because I had it for lunch last week. It was this vegetarian three bean chili with like a cornbread and some form of like crema sauce. It was so goddamn good. Head to factormeals.com/cam50 and use code cam50 to get 50% off. That's code cam50 at factormeals.com/cam50 to get 50% off. And what about you, Mandy? Like, I know I kind of obviously said it, but like, our experiences were very different the second time around. What went into that for you?
Well, first I talked to Lindsay because I said to her, I wish I would have given more thought to the way she approached it. Because I think I had said, I'm just going to go straight to formula. But you do go in the hospital and you're out of it. And they basically, I mean, they put my daughter on my boob.
I know. Yeah. She's not even out of your body.
And I couldn't even have a thought to say no.
Yeah.
And I think I thought like, oh, I'll just go in there and be like, no, and that'll be that. Mm-hmm. But you actually have to be thoughtful about it. To your point, you brought formula.
You have to tell your husband too.
You have to tell your husband. Kevin was a huge advocate. Support. Yeah, and you have to stick to your guns. And I didn't think about it. So those who want to do it, mm-hmm. have a plan before you go to the hospital and stick to it. So I think I like was so in awe of you for doing that because as soon as I started breastfeeding. It was easier this time around than with my first, but I still had to use like a nipple shield to start, which is never fun. Mm-hmm. And then it hurts, right? So I did it. And again, Cam, I think you and I had this conversation because as soon as I started to feel it was taking a mental toll, mm-hmm. is when I was like, okay, I'm going to go to pumping. And then as soon as that felt like a mental toll, I'm going to stop. Like I told that to myself. But even then I remember saying to you, I feel like a bad mom because I gave Beckham 6 months and what I'm going to quit on Sutton in two.
Yeah, but it's so funny. Like, I feel like I've been such a better mom this time around because I'm not depressed. Like, she's getting a better me.
Yeah, she's getting a better version.
Breast milk aside, which I get the vitamins and the science, but like breast milk aside, she's getting a better me, hands down.
And like, at what point is that not important?
Is that more important? Right. Exactly. That was the, I mean, I've talked a lot in my head about this to myself.
No, but
like,
that
is the constant conversation.
But that's, and you said to me, like, why are you even thinking that? Like, to the point, you're going to be a happier mom and your baby's going to be happier. Like, that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? You're right. And so I did. I went home and I quit cold turkey. So I, same with Lindsay. The only difference is I did do cabo cream because I did cabbage one day and it like was so uncomfortable. I was like, I cannot do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had a supply too.
Like, right. I did not have,
I don't make a milk.
Yes. So it was.
And we're milk makers.
Pretty,
you guys are like over cow. You
especially. No, I'm just like, it's out of control.
The best is what we had to do. And Cam's like, look at my shirt.
My entire boob is wet. Like, it's, that was not even missed feed.
I know.
Yeah. But I understand what you're saying because I had a similar, like, mine was different in the sense of, my latch was so much easier the second time around than the first, like night and day. But the feeding experience was so much harder this time around because there was stuff going on with my baby that like we couldn't figure out like what was causing his reflux, all of this stuff that we didn't deal with the first time around.
Yeah.
And so for me, I remember like trying to force it because once he had latched, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be great because I loved breastfeeding. My first, because once we figured it out, I really did enjoy that experience until I didn't. And that's when I stopped. And so I was holding on to this memory of like what it was with my first child and trying to force it onto my second, where Joe looked at me and was like, that's just not the reality. Like, look at his reaction after a feed. He is writhing in pain. He's spinning up everywhere. He's uncomfortable. Like, this isn't.
They're just different babies.
Him. And they're different
babies.
And
you weren't in it.
And I wasn't loving it because now I'm covered in spit up and I'm trying to figure out what the fuck is making my child so uncomfortable.
Yep. Yeah.
Cutting out everything under the sun. And I did have a moment of guilt where I'm like, I gave my first 5 months exclusive and we're just tossing in the towel at six. But to Lindsay's point, it's like, I've been able to show up not only for my baby, but also my toddler.
Yeah.
So much more.
They don't tell you that part, I feel like.
Because everyone else can also help feed and I can spend time with the toddler.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly.
Someone asked me recently, and I'm curious your guys' opinion, because I think it's a little early. Joe and I were talking about this the other night, but like, what's your favorite part of having two?
My toddler is so obsessed with her sister, and I was convinced she wouldn't be because we heard for 9 months that, like, I don't want her, and they're in love. And, like, it's so, so cute.
She loves her so much.
Like,
oh my God.
Loves her. Every morning. She's, like, just so excited.
I would say same. I mean.
Yeah, he's good with her, too.
Just obsessed with his little sister. He loves babies in general. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you guys come over.
I'm pretty sure he thought mine was his.
Oh, yeah. He wants to just see all the kids.
Or he was like, that's mine. That's Charlie. I was like, no, it's not.
So, like, that to me. And I can't wait to watch them, like, grow.
Well, I think it'll only get better.
Yeah. Together.
I thought about this the other day when I was, like, reflecting on this question because. For me, my toddler, like, quite honestly, doesn't care much about. He's kind of indifferent towards our baby. Like, every once in a while, he'll be like, oh, hi, and, like, start talking to him and hug him and, like, want to give him his bottle. But, like, for the most part, he kind of acts like he doesn't exist, which, like, whatever, I'll take.
It's better than, like, hitting him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'll take that as a win.
Yeah.
He's the same way with Charlie. Like, every once in a while, he interacts with our dog, but otherwise, it's kind of like they coexist in the same space. But I do think that, like, the good parts will only get better.
Yeah.
And the hard parts will only get easier. Because one of the things I find the hardest right now, and that I also want to hear what you guys feel, is this divide in our family.
Yep.
Because they are on such different playing fields of life.
Yeah.
Of abilities, of interests, of schedules, etc. And so it is just easier to divide and conquer. But then the end of the day comes around and I'm like looking at my husband realizing I haven't talked more than 10 words to you. And those 10 words were, do you have him? Do you have him? Are you going to do this? Which one? It's a game of would you rather.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, do you feel that's the hardest? What do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel like that's really, I mean, the roommate phase is real.
So fucking real.
It's so real. No matter how, like, I love my husband, but you just end up feeling like you're a roommate. You get to the end of the day and you just pass out in bed. Like, that's it. And that is hard. I, especially in the beginning when you're trying to figure out schedules, because I know we were talking about this. We were so used with our first, we did Everything it was the three together. Of us.
Yeah.
We did bath time together, bedtime together, dinner together. Everything was together. Mm-hmm. And now this unit is so separated that like, and to your point, it's like, okay, one night my husband does our daughter and I do our son. And mm-hmm. then the next night we flip. And then sometimes it's just easier for me to do the baby and him to do the toddler. Totally. So I feel like I also am not spending as much time with my son, mm-hmm. which is really
your
hard.
Toddler.
Yes, yeah. Because we have a really close bond. And I've had to explain this to my husband, like, while yes, it works when you do bedtime with him and I do with our daughter, I'm missing one of my favorite mm-hmm. activities with him every night now.
Yeah.
I used to have it for 3 years. I had every night. And now I have maybe once a week.
Yep.
And that's really tough to wrap your head around. And I listen, he probably will never remember it. What he will remember is that, like, for the most
someone
part,
was there.
Someone was reading him a book and singing him a song good night. Mm-hmm. And we were always there in the morning. And that's what like matters. But for me, it's hard. That division of like, I don't get to spend as much time with my first. And there's this, I feel like we are two separate families right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel
it's
the same.
It's really confusing.
I don't know how we ended up. Well, I do actually, like, because Kevin didn't get paternity leave. So mm-hmm. he was back working like 3 days after I had the baby. And so I was like, I'm on maternity leave for 5 months. I'll get up in the middle of the night with the baby. You have to work, but then you can do toddler. And all of a sudden, we're just both with the kid. Like, we've just tag teamed and like, my toddler's his and the baby's mine. And like, we're ships passing in the night. And it's just hard.
It's so, I mean, we really fully sleep in separate fucking bedrooms because our baby's not sleeping.
I think there's something to that though. I feel like I should do
honestly,
that.
Honestly, it's kind of like,
I know.
It sucks. It definitely is not helpful for the roommate phase.
Yeah, but like we're both up till 11. Like why?
But yeah, but it's helpful in the sense of we each get a monitor.
Yeah.
And you know, typically our toddler is sleeping 12 hours through the night. So like that one gets to actually sleep. And then the other one's on baby duty because I'm like, I lose my mind with no sleep. And I hit a point where I was feeling delirious and I'm like, I need to be guaranteed a night every once in a while. And if I'm in the other room and I don't have to hear like the monitor go off, because realistically, I'm sure you feel the same way. If you're in the same bed as your husband and the monitor goes off, even if he's doing the bottles or whatever, you're still up.
I'm up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then
oh,
you're
yeah.
like listening to how they're doing
and then I'm
it.
I'm like, you're not doing it right.
So like you're not sleeping either.
Yeah.
So this way I like guarantee a night of sleep and we rotate it. We just decided, like, on Sunday nights, we'll sit down and go through our week and be like, who has a big thing for work that next day that needs a night of sleep now that I'm back at work? But it's great in the sense of sleeping. It's not great for the roommate. Like, mm-hmm. it's really, really tough to prioritize a relationship in postpartum when you feel like you have no time for anything. And like your kids are getting everything and that's the focus. And then the end of the day comes around when you typically used to like spend time with your partner. And I'm like, it's bedtime. Like I need to be comatose.
But are you guys
comatose.
Like, I feel like we're less stressed about it this time. Because I know it'll
because
end.
Because I know it'll end.
Yeah. Like the first time around, I was like, oh shit, we're getting divorced. Like
no, the first time I was like, why do I hate you so much sometimes?
It's like scary. But then now I'm like, oh, this too shall pass.
I think it's less scary. It's less jolting to be like, wait, what's happened to our relationship?
Yeah.
Because I remember the first time, similar to your point, it was like, I also felt a lot of resentment.
Totally.
I felt so much resentment because his body hadn't gone through anything. Mine had just gone through. I was exclusively breastfeeding. I was really depressed. So there was this like, I'm jealous that you're not depressed kind of thing.
Totally.
Not that I want him to be.
I felt the
their
same.
Life still goes on.
Their life still goes on.
Like, but they are becoming a dad, which I did not accept. Like, I didn't even think about that last time. Like, they too are becoming a dad and it's a ripcord. Their body doesn't change. They're not depressed. They're not all the things. But I never thought about that.
I think that's a more, a larger transition the second time.
Interesting.
For a heterosexual relationship, I feel that the male has a harder transition the second birth than the first. Because this is my theory. And I've been told this by other people like that prepared me for this. And I'm curious if you guys agree. The first time around, like, when someone was with the kid, the other person got to do whatever they wanted. You know, it was like, oh, I'm going to, if Joe had him, I'd go like run out and see a friend and grab coffee,
it's
whatever.
True.
He would go golf, do whatever he wanted when I had him, if like we were swapping time. And I think a lot of that in the beginning fell on me as the person who like gave birth. So he just had a little bit more freedom. This time around, you're with one or the other. And so I think it was more of a life change. Obviously, everything changed in the sense of like now we had a kid the first time and there was this huge adjustment. But I feel the transition was almost harder the second time because there was no free time.
See, that's why this time, to me, like going 0 to 1 was way harder than 1 to 2, except for the fact of pure time.
Yes.
Because when you have 1, no matter what, you have time. I had time to shower. Mm-hmm. I had time literally to go do something. Yeah. Now I feel like I have 0 time.
Mm-hmm. And because we're so fresh, obviously that's going to be different. But like right now, it's real.
Yeah. And so, and I think that's probably why I don't feel like me right now, because I like have no time for myself. Mm-hmm. Because even if my husband's like, I'll take our son to the park for the next 2 hours or a play, great.
That but used still, to be your time.
That, but then I'd be like, I'm going to lounge around the house. I'm going to take a long shower. I'm going to go get my nails done. Whatever it is I wanted to do. Now I'm like, I have to care for another being this entire time that you're gone. And yes, she'll nap. Right. But in that hour, until I have to meal plan. Yeah. I'm like,
you're like, no.
I'm like running around the house cleaning up because it's the only time. I just don't have time. And I think that like
freedom,
not even having even that little bit is what's like really hard now to feel like all I do is mom.
Yeah.
Or take care of a house or worry about fucking dinner.
Fucking dinner.
Fucking dinner.
And by the way,
don't make the fucking chicken.
Yeah, don't make the fucking chicken.
By the
guys.
Way, like dinner is like I love to cook. That's like my outlet.
Yes.
But like now I don't even have time for my outlet.
Right. I also think, I mean, I saw a TikTok that was like, if it's not one, it's the other. And if it's not one, it's both. Like that, I just feel is spot on right now. The seasons are changing. And let me tell you what is staying the same. We are still wearing pajamas 90% of the time for our baby because it's just easier, okay? Like if we are chilling around the house or going on walks or just like seeing some close friends, we're in our pajamas. They are comfortable. They are cozy. We can go in and out of our naps as we please. And the ones that we are wearing, Dreamland Baby, of course, have one of the most important things, in my opinion, when it comes to babies for all the constant diaper changes you have, a double zipper. Let me tell you, if you have a friend or you yourself are getting pregnant or are pregnant and are having a baby and you're trying to figure out what type of pajamas you need, etc., these are the ones that you buy. Because not only do they have the double zipper, which is essential, the two-way zipper, for all of the diaper changes you're going to be doing, especially in the early stages, but they also have their dream cuffs, which that way, like you can put on and off the feet and the hands so that the hands and feet can be covered or they can be open. So I like to have his feet out, especially when we're playing for tummy time, etc. But, you know, I got to keep him warm when he's sleeping. And with his hands, like babies, they scratch the shit out of their face. So when they're sleeping, it's perfect. You just cuff them right over and you don't even need mittens because suddenly their nails are covered. The Dreamland Baby Luxe Weave Bamboo Pajamas are so soft. You can toss them right in the wash and they are so stretchy. And I love that our boys can match with the two-piece set and the two-way zipper pajamas. Exclusive discount code for Freckled Foodie and Friends listeners. Go to dreamlandbabyco.com and enter my code Cameron at checkout to receive 20% off site-wide plus free shipping. This offer is for new and existing customers. Okay. Regarding work, you guys both work corporate jobs. You're on maternity leave for the next 3 months, probably, right?
March 11th. Get around. Counting down. April.
How do you feel about the return? Like, what are you excited about? What are you scared about? What's the, like, leading emotion? Because I don't actually have many people on here who are, like, corporate working mothers.
I'm fucking pumped.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Get me back.
Yeah.
Because you want that part of yourself.
I'm so appreciative of the time off, but like I have so much respect for stay-at-home moms. Like, I don't know how you do it. I need a break and I need something that's not child stimulation. Like, I want to go and have adult conversations. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Not about even our texts half the time. It's about like diapers and formula. And like, I want to talk about things that are not that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's mine. I also, after my first, came back and had the best year of my career. It was a shortened year. Because I was so re-energized to, like, to your point, to have adult conversations, to use my brain creatively again.
That part of my life, which I did not. Like, you know, you're in the grind and you're like, ugh, I don't want to go back to work. But then all of a sudden you have a kid and you realize it's like a privilege to go.
It is. And yes, you compartmentalize.
But like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
you get to go into the city and you get to like dress. You get to get dressed.
I mean, you get to like be somewhere without a child asking you 10,000 yes, questions.
Totally.
And so I'm really excited to get back. My husband kept saying, well, you have time, extend it. And when I had a meltdown last week, I said, this is why I don't want to extend it, because I need to have a part of myself feel like me again. Yeah. Like, I need something that is not
I don't
a constant
want to manage
thought.
My household. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want something around my house. Yeah. My family house. Like, I need something that is mine, that is purely mine.
I think that's one of the things I struggle with the most with my job, is because so much of it is in my house. So like, I have such a hard time with that boundary. And like, I think I feel like you said this comment the other day when we were talking about trolls or whatever. And it's like, oh, don't make being a mom your whole identity. And I'm like, well, unfortunately, it fucking is, kind of. Like, that is what my life has surrounded itself around right now. Will it be forever? Probably not, because eventually my kids are going to be off and I'll have like doing their own thing and I'll have more time and I'll have other things. But like, that's where I think it's hard. That's why I love coming into the studio, like doing things like this, having a day like this where I am, you know. And I hate the narrative of this like battle that you see on social media of like, well, stay-at-home moms have it the best or working moms have it the best. Like, why
no
can't
mom
we all
has
like,
it the best.
Fucking agree
no,
that
yeah.
it's all hard?
It's all hard.
And like,
and by the way, it's all work.
It's all
Lunch
work.
Just paid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's crazy when you think about how much you would have to pay a staff to do.
To run our house. Yeah.
A job that a stay-at-home parent does.
Yeah.
And it's unpaid. And there's so much talk around like the privileges to get to stay home. And it's like, well, childcare is really fucking expensive. So like the privileges to get to choose what's happening, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the choice is the privilege. But I do think that there's so much to be said about having some part of you outside of your children, whether it's a job or a hobby. Just carving out something that's yours is really freaking vital. And I think that's why the early stages for me mentally are really hard, because I don't feel I have that.
No.
I don't right now.
Trapped in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm home in the house and I'm in the house bored. What was that TikTok?
I'm home in the house and I'm in the house bored.
During COVID. Okay. Last thing I want to just regroup, like go back to in terms of friendship. I feel we've really been there for each other during like the early stages of postpartum. And I'm curious, like for people listening who are looking to best support friends, like how do you feel the best way to support others during this period is, so that people feel the most cared and loved for? Like, I will say with our text chain, I feel like the safety and the judgment free of being able to say anything and then also being like, I'm having a really hard time. And I think that this is specific to like our unit of six, when we include our husbands, of like showing up for each other like a family would. And both of you being like, okay, what can we do? Drop everything. Like, Mandy, like you came over one day and you were like, I'm just going to hold your child so you can go to sleep. Like those types of things, I think, is so vital and rare to find.
Totally.
What are your thoughts on like how to best, I guess, support?
It's action. Yeah. It's one thing to check in on people. And you should. You should check into your friends that have kids. Check in on them. They need you to. But show up. Don't just check in and ask how they're doing. Actually ask. Is there anything we can do? Like at that day that I came over to your house, you even said, no, it's okay. I got it. No, you didn't.
Yeah, no.
I could tell in your, tell in your tone. You didn't have it.
Yeah.
You were losing it. And so I just forced myself upon you and I came
like,
over.
I'm coming over.
I'm coming over.
I will say, I feel badly because like you guys are also in it. So I'm like, what, I'm going to have Mandy call? Like, she
has a newborn
too.
Yeah, but we're all in it at different, like sometimes I have help. Sometimes she has help. Sometimes you have help. I don't know.
And you didn't have help and you hadn't slept and my baby was sleeping. So like, and that's the thing. I think it's so many people check in and I think that's great. But when you can show up for your friends, Lindsay's brought me dinner. You've brought me dinner. Like you guys have come over, like even the play dates.
Yeah.
So that like we have a moment and there's more people at our house to watch our children. Like show up for your friends. And I think that's what we do for each other. And the no judgment. Like I need to be able to say sometimes my toddler's an asshole. And I need you guys to say, yep, so is mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My therapist actually said this to me when I forget what I was saying. I like bitched about something my toddler did. And I was like, sorry, you know, and she goes, oh my God. You need a safe space to be able to complain about your children, because your kids are not going to be perfect ever, but especially 100% of the time. And you need to be able to voice that to someone so that you're not taking out on your child. And there's so much like, you know, dialect in the comments of some of my videos of like, you're like, you need to be able to have specific feelings and voice them to friends so that you can show up for your kids and not hold any type of like resentment or anger towards them.
I think that's been the biggest, not the biggest differentiator, but a big differentiator between this pregnancy and last was that I had you two. I did not have friends in the thick of it. I was like the first of my friends to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I can just vent to you guys, no judgment. And you like also know you don't have to fix it. Like you're just like, let it go. Yeah. Let those knife emojis fly. Like it's just like, I don't know. It's been so nice because it just gets off my chest and then we move on. Mm-hmm. And you guys like help me feel seen too. It's not just because I'm feeling that way doesn't feel ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like I would question my feelings last time where you're like, yeah, no, been there. It's good.
Yeah.
You got this.
We also have people that like, we're all going through the same thing. And sometimes that's just like reassuring.
So reassuring.
Oh, totally. You hate your husband today too? Great. Yeah. Mine said hello and I wanted to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
He asked me what's for dinner. Yeah. I said, go to the fucking door.
Don't bake that chicken.
Don't make the chicken. No, but the other thing is like, I will say, I also think this is the scariest part about postpartum, I think, that my brain doesn't work.
I mean, we could barely get into the city today.
No, but like, it took when the we three have conversations sometimes, it's like, Lindsay, I know we said this last
time. I'm unwell.
While Mandy was cooking us
most
dinner.
Times I'm unwell.
I'm like, I don't even know what we just talked about.
No. I leave and Kevin's like, how was the hangout? I'm like, I don't know what was said.
What was said.
But I feel okay.
But I feel happy.
I ate a salad.
I remember what it was. Mandy made really good food. Yeah. It's that not only can we bitch, but I also not brag, but celebrate. Like this morning, SN texted me like, oh my God, there was only one wake up in the middle of the night. Like, and it's like, you can share the highs as well as the lows.
Yep.
I also will say, I think—
And we don't also, sorry to interrupt, we also don't like take from that. You
absolutely
know how
not.
You have friends that it's like,
have your moment.
There's like a one-up, like, oh, well, we're—
Oh, I hate the one-uppers.
The one-up. And like, that's not our, this little trio that we've made is not that way. Because sometimes it's like people deflate you so fast.
Yeah.
And that is not what this is.
No, not at all. I think the turning point for our friendship and— just going back to making friends, was the dinner we did without the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because I talked about this with Ashley, my neighbor, on a past friendship series episode where it's like, you can meet people at play dates and whatever, but when you're with the kids, you're never fully hanging out because either you're in a park and the kids have decided to do two completely opposite things. Yep. So you basically decided to do two separate activities just in the same vicinity, which is how Ashley and I were at the park the other day. Or it's like the whole time you're micromanaging these two humans trying to interact with each other.
Yeah, you're like on edge.
Like, are they sharing? Okay. What happened over there? Like, oh God, why is my kid crying? Oh, I hope she doesn't think my kid's an asshole. Like all of those emotions.
Yeah.
And I remember the dinner we did at your house with just adults. The guys, like after dinner, were off watching a football game or something. And we like stayed at the table talking. We were all so pregnant and so uncomfortable. And it was interesting because not only did I leave being like, oh, I love them and I feel close to them, but it just goes to show the difference of like female friendships and male friendships. Like I left that dinner
you knew
knowing
everything
more
about, me.
About your husbands than my husband knew about them after being friends for 2 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like
we just spilled. I don't know what
we
it
spilled
was. The hormones.
Everything.
It was
like,
hormones.
Let me tell you my deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah. Everything that happens with my family.
Yeah.
Lay it all out on the table.
Do your boobs look like this? Because my boobs look like this.
We did. We showed each other.
We literally lifted up our shirts and showed each other our tits. Like, there was just, it was full send.
Yes.
And we all showed up. We were all in sweats. We were all in sweats.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, nothing fit me.
No.
I was so pregnant.
I was in the same outfit I wore every day for the last 2 months of my pregnancy, that Eagle sweatshirt and the Hatch joggers that I lived in.
Yeah.
But I think that is such an important step of friendships as moms, of like that first time you spend time without kids.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, okay, we're officially either going to vibe or we're not.
Yeah, I agree with that. You're either going to be like life friend, like friends outside of mom.
Right.
Or you're going to just be mom friends.
Just play
And either
friends.
Is totally fine.
Well, you need.
You all fit.
You need both.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like that dinner was a turning point.
I Huge
do feel like we
point.
Were like, oh, okay, we're like legit friends.
And then
we have
that was
kids.
When our text thread started.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, we're all friends. And it's just great that we happen to also be in the similar stages of life. And now we have our mom's trip coming up and I can't fucking wait.
Oh my
and we're,
God.
By the way, guys, we are with each other every week.
Oh.
And then sometimes without we fail. Decide then to weekends. Bring our husbands together.
Yeah. Well, that has also been one of the nicest things of postpartum this time around. Again, having someone in a similar stage is like once a week, we just go to someone's couch.
Yeah.
And sit for 3 hours.
We
and
eat.
Like pass around the babies.
Yep.
We eat. We feed them. They nap. We catch up as if we haven't texted on a thread all day long.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to try to find that.
Yeah.
For that stage of your life.
I know it's not easy, but I mean, I do not put myself out there, but I wish I had you guys last time around.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know I was alone. Like, and it was COVID. So it was another thing too.
It was so weird. Yeah.
But like having someone, even if you join like a mom's group and you don't know anyone, just to sit with other moms that are in the thick of it with you, I feel like would have made a big difference.
Huge. I always plug this, but we do have a great Facebook group, guys, Freckled Foodie Mamas. It's like 2,000 members, active as shit.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. I don't promote it often, but it's truly one of the best Facebook groups. I don't want to make it too big because I like that it's like...
Oh, it's like a small
community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there are posts. I mean, I'm not like posting my stuff or whatever. It's just people are posting questions. Feedback, like that you can anonymously post. It's so wonderful to the point where I use it to crowdsource information. Like I posted it's the other so day nice. Asking for recommendations on something I was going through with our baby of like, you know, maybe someone's experienced it in here. So I will say if you're looking for people, like I think posting in there like, hey, I live here. And also like I joined a Facebook group for the moms in our town for like 2023 babies, just because I think it's helpful, like for pediatrician crowdsourcing, for that type of stuff. And I do see people on there being like, let's organize walks. Like, I live here. So finding someone that's in it with you, I think is so, 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 so important. Whether even they don't even have to live near you.
No.
Like having the person that you can text at 3 a.m. during a feeding.
Yeah.
Which we did for so long.
Yeah.
And now it's just me.
Kim's like, anyone else?
Myself. Nope. Hello.
And we answered six. What's up?
Yeah. Hey, finally woke up. Okay. Well, I love you guys.
Thank you so much for
coming on here.
Thanks
You're the
for
best.
Having us.
Three Musketeers right here.
I know.
Yeah, for real. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode of Freckled Foodie and Friends. I have so much fun recording the show. It is my favorite part of my job and truly is what lights me up. Your feedback and response to every episode is what keeps me going. And if this episode resonated with you, please feel free to DM me over on Instagram or share on your stories. If you are looking for a way to support the show, please rate and or review on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcast. It means the world to me and it really helps the show grow. Please also make sure to hit subscribe so that you are up to date with new episodes coming at you every Wednesday morning. And of course, please be sure to follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Cameron Oaks Rogers. I love you and I appreciate your support so much.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.